This is Pastor David Pittman speaking to you from the auditorium of the Addison Baptist Church. This is my midweek message, and I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. I want to just bring another encouraging message to you if I can. We are still in the midst of this battle to flatten the curve of this virus, and I won't repeat all the news you're hearing or watching, but I will pray that we will be able soon to meet again here in the building that God's given to us. But for now, I just remind you about my halftime speech I gave to you, and that is we all just need to, I think, calm down. We need to stay in. We need to reach out to everyone we can with encouragement and ministry as we are allowed and able. And then we ought to look up, keep our eyes on the Lord. This message is about two men who serve God equally well in very similar yet dissimilar circumstances. I'm reading to you from the book of Hebrews chapter 11 about a man named Joseph and a man named Moses. Now, I suspect you know both of them well and probably their biography quite well. Brother Dewberry has preached a message on Joseph. You can find it elsewhere here on our page, and I recommend that to you. But Joseph and Moses are very famous. Joseph really closes the last third of the book of Genesis. Moses, of course, is there at the beginning of the book of Exodus, and they're rather like bookends of the time that Israel spends in Egypt. From the beginning, when Joseph brought them there to escape the famine, and there are about 70 people, and then Moses, hundreds of years later, a new Pharaoh and new circumstances for the Israeli people. And Moses is the one who leads the Exodus. So Joseph brings them to Egypt. Moses takes them out of Egypt. But I want you to see in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, verse number 22, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." And then, verse 27, Moses, it says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." I could spend a great deal of time comparing these two men. They are both Hebrews. They are both servants of God. They both who go through tremendous preparation for their ministries. Moses and Joseph share similarities of access to Pharaoh's court. Joseph rises from prison to become prime minister of Egypt. Moses begins out as the Pharaoh's son, or at least in Pharaoh's household. So there are many comparisons between the two. They both became fluent in the Egyptian culture and language. They understood the Egyptian people. And they were quite well educated and well taught. So there are very many similarities. But there are some great differences in these two men as well. Joseph serves God by bringing his family into Egypt. Moses serves God by taking his family and the nation out of Egypt. Now we could ask here, who was right? Who was walking with the Lord? And the answer would be, both of them. And what has that got to do with our present circumstances? Well, sometimes we don't know what to do. Our circumstances are different. Right now we are not able to meet. We do not think it's wise to encourage people to gather in large groups. And we're following the lead of our state and local authorities, both in the government and in the health community. And normally we would insist that we should be assembling together. We're not able to do that. Who is right? Are we right when we tell people to come to church, or are we right when we tell people don't come to church building? And I have to say, what about Joseph and Moses? Which one of them was obeying God? Did Joseph sin when he brought his family to Egypt to escape the famine and to preserve the line of the family that would produce the Messiah? And the Hebrew nation that would produce the Messiah? Why, no. Joseph was clearly obeying God. The providential hand of God is clearly on Joseph. And it's a masterful narrative. And You read Genesis 37 through Genesis 50, and you'll be fascinated by the providential appointments through which God brings Joseph. Moses is no less fascinating from his birth and being drawn out of the river by Pharaoh's daughter, growing up in Pharaoh's court, and then at age 40, having to flee into the wilderness and living as a shepherd for 40 years, and then returning at the age of 80 to lead the Exodus to extract God's people out of Egypt. Is he undoing what Joseph did? Well, Joseph clearly prophesied that there would be a day coming when they would leave Egypt. As a matter of fact, he gave instructions that even after he was dead and buried, they were to take his bones with them and reinter his body when they arrived in the Promised Land. So it's clear that Joseph understood that their Promised Land was not Goshen or not Egypt, but it was in Canaan, from whence his family had sojourned. I'm simply drawing an analogy here between the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And I'm not suggesting that I'm Joseph or Moses. I'm just saying that we find ourselves in circumstances where some might say, well, you ought to meet. You ought always to meet, no matter what the risk, no matter what the danger, no matter what the problems. And yet we might say, is there a circumstance in which it's wiser and better and safer? Is it loving my neighbor better when we do not assemble for a brief period of time and stay dispersed, continue our ministry as best we can? I suggest that you think about the lives of Joseph and Moses. Before we criticize a servant of God or we criticize the people of God, we need to understand their circumstances. Joseph served God by coming to Egypt. Moses served God by leaving Egypt. Joseph served God by bringing his family to a place of safety. Moses served God by taking his nation out of that same place to a better place of safety. They were both obedient to the Lord. So let's be very patient and very careful that when we see churches and we see servants of God, Christians trying to serve God, we need to find out where is their heart, where is their loyalty, where is their faithfulness, and not criticize them on superficiality or circumstances. I can think of a New Testament illustration of this as well. After Jesus was crucified, the disciples fled and they hid in an upper room. As a matter of fact, that's where Jesus finds them when he is revealing himself to them, and we're soon to celebrate Easter Sunday. But as you know, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. But when the world turns its attention to Easter, we'll do our best to preach the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there's an occasion when Jesus' disciples are in the upper room for fear. They're hiding. They've abandoned the Lord. They've denied the Lord. They've given up their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, at least for a short time. And they were not obeying God. But in the book of Acts, we'll see just as Jesus is ascending back to heaven, he will tell them to go wait in that room, that upper room, for 10 days. And their assignment is to, if you will, go into reclusion, go into a hiding place for a little while. So were they being disobedient in Acts chapter 1 when they went back to that upper room or those places where they may have hidden before? No, here it's clearly obeying the will of the Lord and the leadership of the Lord. And so in one circumstance, they're hiding. In the other circumstance, they're waiting. Now, I do not want God's people to live in fear. I do not want us to be afraid of serving God or living for God. I do not want us to be afraid of death, if you will. I don't want us to be afraid of sickness. But I do want us to be wise. I do want us to be good neighbors. I do want us to be faithful to the task of not only loving God, but loving our neighbors as ourselves. And so I believe our separation for a brief period of time is actually obeying the Lord. So we ought to do it out of faithfulness to God. We ought to do it out of love for our neighbor. But We ought not to criticize those who are trying to serve God by being obedient in this way. Joseph and Moses, two great patriarchs of the Old Testament. One serves God in Egypt. One serves God leaving Egypt. One serves God by bringing his family to Egypt. One serves God by bringing the nation out of Egypt. Was one wrong and the other right? No, they were clearly both right in serving God. Were the apostles disobeying God by waiting in the upper room those 10 days after the resurrection? After the ascension, I should say. No, they were just waiting on the Lord. They were where they were supposed to be at the time they were supposed to be. I pray God will soon bless us to meet again when we can not only worship God together, but we can love our neighbor best by inviting them to the house of God where they can hear the Word of God and hear the gospel. And yet I pray now that in these days that we are dispersed, that we are still reaching others through media, through messages, through letters, through conversations, even at a distance, speaking to others about the Lord. Wherever we are, we need to be serving God. Whatever we're doing, we need to be loving God and loving our neighbor. I pray that God will bless you and help you these days. Let's pray now. Father, I thank you for these examples of Joseph and Moses. Pray that these simple reminders will help us not to be critical of those who are trying to serve God in a very specific time, in a very specific circumstance, that we'll look below the surface and that we'll understand what is best. Father, it's easy to criticize what others should do or should not do. We have to be faithful to you where we are and as we can. And Father, we pray that we would not be hiding for fear, but that we would be waiting in faith. Father, I pray that you'll help God's people to calm down, to stay in, to reach out, and to look up. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you richly.